In theory, we should now be live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening live, this is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. It is Wednesday, the 18th of June 2014. And tonight on Edutalk, we've got a special guest, Bill Harris. Good evening, Bill.
Hi, good evening, John. I'd like to thank you first and foremost for allowing me the chance to speak on Edutalk. It's slightly daunting, I must admit, but I'm grateful to talk about my professional learning.
Sure, I don't be daunted. If I can talk live on the radio, anybody can. Maybe just start off, Bill. You can give us a wee bit of background of, you know, where you've been.
Okay.
In your career, or how you've got to where you are.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm a secondary teacher. I teach chemistry and sciences to the young kids at Liberton High School in Edinburgh. I've been teaching here for 11 years, and before that I had a career change in 2000 to train as a teacher. I've been working for the oil and gas industry in the UK and abroad, and I decided that it was time to actually do something that I really wanted to do. I'd thought about it for years, and with the support of my wife, Joan, I packed in the job and did my teacher training at Durham University. And then, as I said, I got a job here at Liberton in 2003. I've seen many changes at the school. I've worked under three head teachers, and I must say that all of them and each of them have supported my own learning, my professional development, and I've seen many changes at the school as well over these years.
Brilliant, thanks. Were you a chemist then, Bill?
I worked as a chemist out at Heriot University for a number of years before moving to Azerbaijan to work for Caverna. We built a lab to service the oil and gas industry out there, and we trained up local scientists in modern analytical techniques, and I left after 3 years, as I said, to become a teacher. But at that time I'd worked as in training, and it kind of galvanized me to think that I wanted to continue training young people, and that's when I decided to jump ship, as it were. And I got accepted at Durham University to do the School of Education there. I did the training, thoroughly enjoyed it. I had some questions in the beginning because it was just such a change. But I spent 2 years down there, thoroughly enjoyed working in County Durham. But then I got a chance to move back to my home in Edinburgh. And I've never looked back. I've been at Liberton ever since. And I've never looked back. It's a wonderful school.
Brilliant. That's great. If people are listening live and during the conversation, if you've got a question that you'd like to ask, you're more than welcome to tweet and use the hashtag Edutalk, and I will try and keep up with that. Bill is going to talk about what I thought was an interesting topic tonight, about homework and about some research you've done into homework, and I guess, Bill, that homework brings up a whole series of reactions from different people of different ages, and maybe you could give us a wee bit of background and why you came to this.
It wasn't an inspiration. It took a long time to get to this point where I did some a classroom inquiry into homework. And I'll give you a little bit of preamble about the background to this, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
About 6 or 7 years ago at Liberton, I was working with a colleague who supported my class. She was from Support for Learning. She was a teacher, and she was helping me with a challenging class, let's say. She was also completing a master's qualification at the University of Stirling, the old chapter teacher scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always tinkering with my classroom practice, but it was never really structured in what you would call a practitioner inquiry. It was just tinkering, really. And I would share these ideas with my colleagues, but as I said, it wasn't really at the depths that maybe that my colleague was studying in the chart teacher scheme. And she said she thought I would enjoy the challenge of a master's course, and so I joined the Stirling University in 2009, and it was the course Inquiring into Professional Practice, and I graduated just last year. It took me quite a few years to get through it. I stopped at one point for personal reasons to take a breather, and then finished the course with what was this homework project as my final dissertation.
Great. I mean, I guess I and many other people have been on the tinkering path, and it'd be interesting just to see how we go from that to something a wee bit more serious that actually gives us something we can measure and see impact. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. I think what made the difference was indeed the structure that they provided at the university. I mean, I found there was lots of interesting things. There was challenging things. Challenge to keep a journal and reflect more frequently on your practice. The reading some of the academic texts I found them like difficult sometimes, and certainly in the beginning, the philosophy of education caused me a lot of heartache. It was a new language I was learning, and so that provided the kind of support for asking important questions about education, and this is obviously what I was being trained to do at Stirling. So that's I did an individual inquiry into my own classroom practice in preparation for a collaborative thing, and that took that was one module of the course, and I thought this is interesting, the homework thing, because it was always a topic of discussion in our departments. It was always a topic of discussion with our pupils as well, about the fairness, the equity, and so that's interesting questions that kept on coming up, and so that's why I decided to do a little bit of research into our department's homework practice, which is, I suppose, a quite traditional, kind of on a topic theme. For example, say chemical reactions, we'd have a set bunch of questions that we'd issue, weekly, and then they would be returned to the teacher, or sometimes not returned to the teacher. Yep. We'd mark them, and then the cycle would continue, and that was kind of didn't seem good enough, for me as a teacher or for our students.
So in that side, in chemistry, in that sort of question and answer model, where would the students be getting the answers to their questions?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's a good question. It would be from work that they had done, previously in the classroom. It was mostly kind of, recall kind of stuff. Give an example of a chemical reaction. I'll stick to the theme of the chemistry, if you don't mind, because that's my spend. What's the formula for sodium chloride and so on. So it was very much short answers. We were giving feedback, which was a mark, which to my mind is then was unsatisfactory and is now even more unsatisfactory. It provided little information that the students could act upon, and really at best it gave us a snapshot of the pupil's understanding at that point, or maybe it was their parents' understanding or, yeah. or friends' understanding, we could never really be sure. So, it's, so for, in many ways, this it wasn't satisfactory. And sometimes it caused friction between pupil and teacher, and sometimes, so speaking to the pupils as well, they got into trouble from their parents at home for homework. So it was, so in many ways I was kind of thinking, well, I was raising questions about, well, why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this? And could it be made better? Or should we just not do it at all? And that's a question I sent into, should we just get rid of homework altogether? I mean, I would answer that now by going, yeah, we can make homework better, but it needs a little bit of work.
Yes.
It needs to be thought through.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I was talking to a colleague at the weekend who's a secondary teacher, I'm a primary background, and we were both coming round to the conclusion that we didn't really like homework, but I think we were definitely talking about the type of homework you're referring to that went on before, the sort of right or wrong answer type, rote almost, question answer type of homework. I'm guessing you're going on to talk about the inquiry, and I think that sort of jumped out at me from the summary was this idea of a professional collaborative inquiry group.
Yeah, that was very much the structure of the course that I completed last year. It led you through the development of your academic literacy, helping you with looking at different models of inquiry, and just have a lot of academic reading, and that, I, as I said, I struggled with that. I'm a simple chemist, and I find that challenging. But I've appreciated it now, looking back at it, the skills I've developed there have enabled me to see things in a different way. I'm certainly not the same teacher I was a couple of years ago. I question things in a way that looks for solutions, I hope. And this homework one was one I hoped that we'd find a solution to. I mean, as I said, I engaged in a lot of academic reading about not only about educational research and inquiry. And we were led to these places by our tutors, which I'm grateful for. And in particular, I became engrossed in the a kind of assessment for learning, kind of lecture of Black and Williams, the Black Box series of pamphlets, the assessment research group, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that really struck a chord with me, and because it made me think about, well, you know, in terms of the assessment value, the homeworks that we were giving out were useless, and almost punitive in nature, and not just that, but the way that we assessed pupils' understanding, knowledge and understanding, we used fairly traditional end-of-topic tests, and I think that the way that we delivered them and marked them was again in the same kind of outcomes as our homework, not very satisfactory. It gave, you know, as with the homeworks, the assessments generally gave little information that the students could do anything about.
Mm.
It was more of it was these kind of high stakes tests that Williams talks about, the kind of do or die thing, and it was turning kids off of our subject, I believe. So that was the kind of, so I might be going off the beaten track here, but that sort of kind of we can do something about this, and it resulted in a working as a group in our department. I think that was really getting back to the question I asked.
I
asked a couple of
sorry, don't worry about going off the question, Bill, because it's all great stuff there.
Yeah.
But I am quite interested in the group nature of it. And
yeah. Well, in our department we had five or six teachers, and I didn't ask all of them to join because I thought that was I mean, this was meant to be I suppose there's a little bit of leadership skills development on my part as well. How could I manage a group of people? It's usually okay with a bunch of kids, 20 kids, yeah. But working with adults is a different kettle of fish altogether. So I was careful on who I asked, and for my own reasons, I decided to work with two other teachers who I approached and asked them if they'd worked with me. I also obviously spoke to the head of department and said what I was trying to do, and they needed permission from the head of school as well, because there was ethical considerations to take into account. And that was all hunky-dory, and my two colleagues agreed to work with me. I think they didn't realise what I'd signed them up for, but I think that they did get something out of it. I know that from our discussions and our head scratching, and we visited each other's classrooms and made observations, and that led to fruitful discussions when we had planned a course about what we were going to do and how we were going to approach this dilemma of how we could make homework more engaging for pupils. And so we came up with some ideas and we thought, well, let's go for it. And through the course of working closely, or even more closely, it was 10 or 12 weeks that we trialled new types of homework to try and engage our pupils. Because of the collaborative nature, it was equitable. We shared things. We disagreed with things. And sometimes, we go, well, I'm going to try this and you try that, and we will see what happens. And that worked as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a kind of the group working together, but also individual ideas as well being trialled. And that in itself is that was an unplanned, unexpected mm-hmm. outcome. But it showed that how engaged the teachers were in this collaborative project as well.
Yeah, I'm getting the idea that although they hadn't perhaps done the formal stuff at the university, they began to build up an appreciation and maybe an appetite for collaborative inquiry or inquiry in general. Yeah.
Yeah, I supplied a briefing for all teachers in the department, not just the ones involved, because I wanted them. I was careful not to burden my colleagues, and that's really important, because there was a kind of power balance in there as well that needed to can be carefully approached. That I wasn't pushing my colleagues into doing something they didn't want to do. Or overburdening them with more work. That wouldn't have been fair. So, but I did using the kind of the work from Black and Williams, the Clark about formative assessment. I prepared a briefing for them and we went through that, and I showed them how I'd hoped that we'd collect data. But the thing is, I'll tell you about how we, sure. what happened in a minute. But it was something that was the outcomes of this were unexpected. The children that we were working with just amazed us with creativity, and it was certainly unexpected. Okay. What we saw coming from this project, even from the very beginning.
So how did it start? How did you start that shift between what you were doing to a new style of homework then?
Yeah, we realised that our homeworks were needed looked at, and as I said, we thought, well, how do we make them more engaging? But also in the kind of the spirit or philosophy of the Curriculum for Excellence, what could we do here? Yeah. So we thought, well, let's go deep end and take the language from the Curriculum for Excellence and give the kids the experience and outcomes, give them one or two experience and outcomes as they were written, with a bit of, we provided structure as well on what we were looking for, maybe a marking scheme, seeing how we could, what how they could be successful.
Sure.
And just gave them that language and said, look, go and run with that. Here's an experience and outcome. I wish I had one handy, but I can't.
I'm trying to think of. I don't know any chemistry experience that comes to our size ones, but.
So we gave them a kind of double-sided sheet and said, this is what we're looking for. We want you to go and research your own homework on this theme of an experience and outcome for a chemistry. And it was, say, for the ones for particles, how particles interact together, on the theme of chemical reactions. And so that's complicated language. It's complicated language for adults, never mind children. So that was really interesting to see how these young people reacted. Because remember, we're talking about S1 pupils here. And so we had quite a few phone calls from home. What are you sending? What is this you're doing? And we entered into discussions with the students. And some would come back, some would be shy, some would come back. I don't understand that. Then we'd discuss it with them in classrooms. So we made space in classroom at the time, of course, for this. And we'd talk about what these statements meant. And so, right from the start, the kids were engaging in this complicated language. Parents were engaging in this complicated language. And we thought, well, we've done something. If nothing more comes from it, then at least we're exposing children to interesting literacy.
Yeah.
And so we normally give a week's turnaround for homeworks and science, but because we're expecting something of a research nature, we gave them 2 weeks. And prior to that, we took our classes down to the library. And our school's librarian, who's a top person, put on a demonstration of how we do research.
Right.
And so gave us some placemats, structural literacy tools to help with research, and gave out some websites and some textbooks and things like that. So we actually kicked it off in a kind of structured way. So that was good. So that was a bit of skilling up for S1 pupils as well. And then we sent them on a way to do a bit of research and produce something of their choice. It had to be, and that was clear to them. It was they could be as creative as they wanted. It didn't have to be a poster. It didn't have to be an essay. It didn't have to be a report. It could be anything. And that was in 2 weeks' time. That's when the kind of when I was becoming more joyful at the what the children had produced. There was kind of, I was a bit apprehensive, I must admit, because I wondered what the outcomes would be, because my experience, as I said, my experience of the traditional homeworks is not very good, and some colleagues had warned of, well, you'll get pages and pages of Wikipedia, unedited kind of stuff, and that wasn't the case. We got just a range, many posters, of course. And speaking to you earlier, saying that this colleagues who work in primary, who's looked at this, said, well, that's kind of like what we get and from primary students. And I suppose there's still that connection between working with S1s and what they remember and what they enjoy doing in the primary schools. It was interesting.
I'm just thinking from the posters then, could you sort of tease out obviously evidence for the topic they were researching, but also evidence that they understood the experience and outcome they were working towards?
Yeah, absolutely. In some cases, yes, and in some cases, no, because in some cases, the kind of kids went off at tangents and read they read their own interpretation of the experience and outcome. So how we marked it, how we assessed it, is provided a kind of And it kind of, this is where it kind of went off the script a little bit, and went from a plan to the kind of unplanned. We started off just, we planned to kind of do peer assessment, mm-hmm. and we produced a little kind of pro forma for it, which was based on Two Stars in the List kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is, again, you know, coming from the primary schools of top work, well, everyone understands that. But we did a kind of I'm not familiar with Facebook, but the kids assured me it's the Facebook thumbs up for like and thumbs down for dislike. But so we had that two thumbs up and one thumbs down. But we also had an improvement box as well, where, you know, if you're going to put a thumbs down, then you had to say how you would improve it. And we encouraged kids to do this kind of peer assessment in groups of twos and threes. So it was kind of collaborative. And we did that on maybe a student's work. Then we'd move around and do it. So we had a kind of like a circus of people's work.
Mm-hmm.
And what was, and of course there's always children who, for whatever reason, and this is where it was important that students who couldn't hand in homework for whatever reason, they could participate in that peer assessment as well. And so that was where it was engaging for them as well. And so there was if a student didn't bring in work, there was no, we had agreed at the start that there was no punitive action, there was no letters from, there's no phone calls home or anything. And so my colleague who had a young lad who wasn't good at bringing in homework, and again for whatever reason he came back at lunchtime and asked if he could work on our computer and do some research.
Yeah.
So I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And so that was my kind of joyful moment, and there's lots of little things like that all the way through that I remember as being that significant. That was crucial for them to become part of this. It was like their democracy. It was his choice to participate in that.
Yeah.
So that was great. And there's lots of little things like that I remember.
I mean, was there a sort of significant upturn in handing in of homework, or not handing in, I suppose, bringing back of homework then? Yeah.
Yeah, because it was, as it said, because it was the final part of my master's course, there was a lot of structure to it. We carried out questionnaires before and after the intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll answer the question in a minute about the quality and quantity. But so the questions before had a certain disposition. We kind of ranked their answers, and then we're dealing with three classes of 20 people. So we've got a lot of evidence there to look at. And I quite like looking at data, being a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the jollies out of that. After the intervention, after the classroom kind of homework, which lasted, I said, 10 or 12 weeks, I'm pretty sure that there was a shift in people's disposition towards the homework tasks, okay? And I think it was significant because we were dealing with quite a lot of kids. It was 3 out of 5 classes in first year. So I think that positive shift showed a real engagement in the new homework type.
Mm.
But the question you're asking, I will answer it now, is the quality and quantity, I believe, increased. And we measured that, again, by looking at the returns. Before we had the classroom intervention of new homeworks, we looked at our classes and said, well, here's what we're getting from our kids. This is the kind of, and it was because it was graded, that was quite easy to do a percentage kind of thing. That was, you got 7 out of 10 or 14 out of 20 or whatever. So that was quite easy, and we could say, well, two-thirds of the class were handing the homework in. In fact, that prior looking at the quality and quantity of homeworks kind of made me sure that I was doing the right thing, because we noticed even in first year that the returns of homework were plummeting even early on in the first year. And of course, looking back at it now, that was of course it's that was the reason for that, because the the homeless were unsatisfactory, and we weren't giving any good feedback on it. There was no participation in the class. It was marked and handed back, and it was either graded good, and they'll go, well, that's fine, I won't do anything else, or it was graded bad, and or poorly, and then the kid would take no action either, because they would just switch off. Mm-hmm. And that's it's my belief, not the school's, I should add, but that kind of summative testing, I suppose, in one way or another, is harmful to learning, you know.
Yeah. I think you have a lot of people nodding along with that one. Yeah.
It was a structured thing, and we did kind of, obviously, it was our project, so we wanted it to be successful. So we did kind of maybe cajole, keep on reminding the kids that, you know, in a week time we hope that you'd have a presentation ready or something that you could show us. So there was a kind of gentle reminding going on there. Mm. And as a milestone, we had a weekly kind of discussion with our kids going, how are you getting on with your homework? Have you decided what you're going to do yet? And hopefully that would, and some people said no, well, we'd maybe get ideas from other pupils in the class of how to start it. But I was surprised by the efforts that the pupils made. I mean, there was many posters, as I said. There was some PowerPoints, a couple of board games, which were on biodiversity, which were fantastic.
Yeah.
I had models on an electric car and a model for fertilizers. So that's all on different themes. And I've kept the models, and every so often I embarrass the pupils. I say, well, I'll still keep your model, by the way, because I celebrate it every time I look at it.
Right.
And there were very few Wikipedia downloads.
Yeah.
And I took that as evidence of this kind of creativity because of the choice that the pupils are given.
Yeah.
And that we kind of engage them in the homework.
Sounds brilliant. A wee question I've got about is, I mean, one of the things that I always disliked about the traditional, you know, in a primary school, hand out a bunch of stuff, get it back, mark it, hand it back, was you had to spend, it took a lot of time, you know, going through all those papers. And it sounds like your time then became part of your class time, is that?
Yeah, we definitely had to make space for this in the class, and so that meant we had to strip out something from the curricular content, and let's be serious, but we deliver too much content in our courses as it is, so making time for the skills development, that the kind of interesting stuff, the good stuff that young people and teachers enjoy, was worthwhile. We did agree on a pro forma reporting for teachers as well. It was a little bit more detailed than the kind of two thumbs up and the thumb down that the students did. But it was an Excel spreadsheet, and it's a pull down menu. So it was quite prescriptive, and based on the criteria that the pupils have been given.
Mm-hmm.
For successful kind of content. And so we just, and not that we told the young people that, but it was a grading system as well that we can use if we wanted to grade the work. So it kind of gave a comment rather than a mark, but there was five different comments for each criteria. So that was a grading in our mind if we wanted to use that. And we printed these off for each child, and gave them the opportunity to write their own next steps comment on that page as well. And that was a step forward as well, because that was the thing that was missing from our traditional homeworks. The grading system was, you know, the A, B, C grade or 10 out of 20 grade is unsatisfactory, as we know from the work of, assessment of learning.
Sure.
But the step here was that the young people gave themselves a next step. And that was... And that gave them a chance to look at that. The next time they did a research project, which is in the next topic of science, then they had that stuff there. And we built up portfolios of work. And I've still got some of them in the class, even though the children from our classes have moved on into third and fourth year now. I've still got their posters, I've kept their folders of work. Because they've grown up and maybe don't see the value of them, I certainly do.
And I
could use them to these are exemplar pieces of work that I can share with other classes, other first year pupils that will be teaching this year.
So are you still using this approach to homework?
I am, and what I've agreed with the head of department this year is we'll try and encourage all of our colleagues to use it. I'm going to take some time as to run a CPD for my colleagues and say this is the outcomes of the research, this is what I've achieved, and we'll make it, I think we're going to try and make it formally put it in place now. It'd be great if we could just say, well, here's the resource, use it when you want, because we all have different teaching styles, we all have different ways of doing things. But I believe it's so in tune with the philosophy of the Curriculum for Excellence. It's so in tune with the good things of peer assessment, young skills development, that we should be giving all of our pupils a chance of doing that. So we're going to try and do that in our next session in August, beginning of August. We'll have a rollout of at least one of these homeworks. Well, no, one of these homeworks in every science topic, and I hope that will replace the traditional end of topic test. And as you can guess, I'm not a great fan of these summative assessments. And I think they'll provide good information.
I love the contrast that you're giving between the word grading, and I think the other important word used earlier on was celebrate. I really love that idea of getting something out of pupils or working towards something you can celebrate.
Yeah. It definitely was a celebration, and not only with the pupils I was working with, I dragged in one of the deputy heads who had supported me all the way through this, my professional learning, dragged her in, and the librarian and the head of the department, and I just put all of the work all around the classroom, and we just looked at it and thought, oh my God, it's just wonderful. So we celebrated those teachers as well. And I forced my colleagues to listen to me rambling on about it on service day as well. I've made some strategic links with a colleague in English and a colleague in maths, and thinking about how we can take this forward, either with an interdisciplinary learning experience for our kids. But that's going to be something to be worked on, something to aspire to, I think.
Yeah, it sounds great. And what I really like, as I say, as a primary school teacher, I can remember doing. And this goes back a number of years, sort of by rote homework. And then every so often we would do, usually in the last term, we'd do some sort of project. And getting great stuff out of that project from some of the pupils. But I didn't have in place all the sorts of stuff you're talking about the peer assessment going on regularly, the feedback going on regularly, the formative assessment. And that's what sounds that has actually made it work so well for you.
Well, that was, I think that was key to it. I don't think we would have continued to keep on rolling if we hadn't have had that, as you said, the celebration, that how good are you? And, I mean, pupils were, their creativity was increased with their confidence. They saw what other pupils had done and thought, oh, I could try that. And it was just being able to present it to the class. And in fact, that was an unplanned event, is that because I was really so impressed and taken aback by the work that these pupils have done, And don't get me wrong, I'm sure that they were supported at home, and I know they were supported at home, but that's great. I mean, that's just... But the unexpected thing that wasn't planned is we got the pupils to present the work to the class, and we give them support with that, and some young people, we couldn't hold them back, and others, we took more encouragement. But so we developed these presentation skills as well, and again, speaking to a fourth year pupil just today about the things that he'd done in way back when we'd done this, and because he was doing some research, and I said, well, that would have helped you, and I said, this kind of research should be easy for you now, and we're talking about that. So we're still engaging in that, in these conversations about the research, which was that was done at the end of 2012, the work with the class, you know, this classroom intervention.
Wonderful.
So
I'm just conscious that time is rolling on, and you're holding a mobile to your ear, so you know you may be getting a cracked neck and all sorts of things. So
that's okay.
I'm just thinking, you know, if you've got a few more things to say, that'd be great. But you know, don't feel we're pushing you at this point. I'm guessing we'll put this audio up for people to listen to on EduTalk.
Sure.
And we'll also link into the article which covers some of your research at Pedigoo as well.
Yeah, sure. What I'll do is I'll see if I can send you something else. We generated a lot of data. It took a lot of analysing, and I was conscious that I was asking my colleagues to take on a workload thing here. But there's still, you know, the creativity of pupils was inspiring. I mean, parents still talk about the engagement at home, but I still get told off by a parent for the mess that a child made at home, making a model car or something.
Yeah.
And we're still talking about it. And I think we have transformed I've transformed my practice. But don't get me wrong, it's not all the time we can do this. This is something that they aspire to do more often.
Sure.
And it does take time to change, though. So it's something that we're still working on. We're still convincing teachers that this is a good way to do things. We have no problem with the students. They seem to grasp it with both hands.
Yeah.
They just run with it.
I'm interested in the effect that maybe the other two teachers that worked and the sort of collaborative inquiry with you, did it have effects on them? Have they gone on to other inquiries?
They have indeed both moved on. Now, I'm not sure if there's a connection between working with me so closely and the fact that they moved school, but I hope not. They both moved on for different reasons. One was a probationary teacher, and I thought that it was great that she worked so she really put a lot of effort into it and came up with fantastic ideas, and that really was a collaborative endeavour. Mm-hmm. So I hope that she's still doing this kind of, and I'm sure she is, because she had me buzzing with ideas, and it really was a sharing. I didn't realise what the time was.
Yeah.
I wish I could talk to you. I would like to talk to you more. It was an engaging thing. It's changed, as I said earlier, it's changed me. It's made me see things in different ways. I feel more able to do that. I wouldn't have done this speaking to you a couple of years ago. I've since spoken to groups of colleagues in different arenas. My last effort was to a packed auditorium of colleagues, and I wouldn't have done that a couple of years ago. This has all come about by this professional learning that I've been engaged in, and I would recommend it to anyone, to any teacher if they're looking for some different CPD, is to look closely at a classroom inquiry, and because I listened to Craig Jameson's podcast, and that was on the flipped classroom, and that is something that I'd really be interested in having a look at with my classes. So it's that kind of change that now I want to do something else. I want to do more of it, if you see what I mean.
Certainly. It might be interesting then, if you are interested in coming back, maybe to talk more broadly about professional learning and how teachers can move into this sort of research role. It's probably a huge topic, but maybe yourself and Craig would be interested in doing something like that longer term.
Definitely.
Because it does, to take it that extra level, as I say, from people like myself who try things out and tinker with things, but to take it to a sort of research-based level maybe makes a much bigger impact in what we're trying to do long term.
I think that the robust framework that the university offered me, well, it was rigorous, and I did many different collection types. We carried out questionnaires. We had focus group interviews with a small group of pupils. We carried out classroom observations. I mean, I was maybe over-egging it a bit because I wanted robust evidence to state a claim that we were making a difference. We carried out post-it surveys, which was really, really good. I got some great comments from like positive, negative, interesting post-its. I'll just read out some. I will read out some of the students' feedback. Things like be more confident, more responsibility, which is just great. I mean, children taking responsibility for their own learning, that's what it was about. Different from what we normally do, different from other types of homework. The negative ones, which I don't think are negative, but I think that it shows that the effort, it was hard to do by myself. I found it quite hard. I had to speak to everyone in class, speaking to the class, standing in front of everyone. It's hard to get up and talk. Now, that skill, that's what they're telling us about their skills development. And so that's really like, you know, that's another bit that I'll never forget about this, you know.
You're ticking quite a few literacy boxes there, I think, with the talking and listening.
But I suppose I probably should let you go. I'm sorry if I'm...
No, not at all. Well, I'm aware there's a school show going on, and...
it's okay, it's break time, and I'm going to come back tomorrow anyway. It's on again tomorrow. I suppose the key thing was there was a shift here in... Maybe not planned. I mean, it wasn't planned as a democratic kind of shift in responsibility for learning, but it did end up like that. I mean, in some cases, the quality and quantity of work that these young people delivered was much higher level than that could be measured by our summative end of topic tests, and that was pleasing. You know, that the kids were able to express themselves in any way they wanted, which again is, you know, harping on back to the philosophy of the curriculum for experts. I suppose I'm going to read out a quote from Clark, 2005. It's a formative assessment in the secondary school, and the quote goes something like this: if a teacher is the only person giving feedback, the balance is wrong and the students are powerless to act. Well, I think that we changed that focus on feedback, and we gave the students a power that they maybe didn't realise that they had before, and that was a change. That was a change in my teaching as well.
Sure,
It was a change of letting go and realising it didn't have to be a control freak in the classroom.
So it's actually spilled over to your teaching in general, as well as just as well as homework. It's had a positive effect, and sort of. Yeah. Your just general day-to-day classroom relationships, perhaps, with pupils, and
there's still some way to go. I suppose, although I've not been in the trade long, I'm an old-fashioned kind of teacher.
Yeah.
But I've seen what can be achieved with that kind of letting go, and I think that that is becoming more and more part of my toolkit. It's more voluntary now. It's built in, and it's just it's so much more valuable to me to work in that way. It's less stressful.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, you couldn't get a better advert for teachers than saying that we're cutting down your stress here, folks. Right, giving up responsibility and handing it over to your few folks. Yeah, that sounds like a good message to me. Brilliant.
Well, in fact, I suppose at times we are, you know, this is an accountable profession, and more so now with the new qualifications coming in, I enjoy doing this. This was something that that I can use and share. As I said, it's made an impact on me that I can't measure. But I know I'm doing things better and differently from the way I thought a couple of years ago. And I'm grateful for that. This would not have happened without the support of my university colleagues, especially my colleagues in school, who were just there all the time. So that was it was a collaborative effort.
Yeah. So the kind of major lessons I'm taken away from this, Bill, is one, you get the scaffolding and structure for what you're doing from university, from building up research skills from professional reading, and then you've got the support of your colleagues to sort of work through this in a structured way.
I think that the universities are becoming more and more proactive in developing partnerships for school-based research in different ways, not just the master's route that I did. There's lots of different ways to pursue this kind of work.
Yeah, so opportunities to get involved without doing the full sort of boon of masters. You can do some collaborative work with somebody else,
Craig Jameson, name check, I listened to him last week at the university last Friday afternoon, and he's done his research and now looking at this should go and become it's worthy of a master's level qualification. So that was it. There was more than one way to do it, I suppose. Look, I better go because that's the interval. Can I just say it's been a thank you for listening to me, and it's been a delight to do this.
It's been delightful.
I'm sorry if I wasn't very focused for all of it.
I think it's been a really great show, to tell you the truth, Bill, because it's touched on so many different things that are interesting. A very positive way, I think, to look at classroom practice is going at a time when there's a lot of pressure on teachers. So it's been delightful to talk to you, and as I say, I think maybe we've got more to talk about. Maybe after a summer break, you'd be interested in coming back and talking a bit more about research in general, things like that.
I'm getting on with my fit classroom.
Yeah, well, maybe that would be a good one to bring you in with other people. So can I just say thanks very much.